I am sure that many of us, or many of you, have heard tons of sermons about faith. What faith is, how you believe in God, how you trust God. I'm pretty sure that probably you have heard tons of sermons. You have heard lots and lots of lessons about faith. You see, the Bible, even when you read the Bible is filled with people of faith. We have a famous chapter in the Bible dedicated to heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. And by faith, those people were able to accomplish so many things in this life. Everywhere you look, you hear passages. Some of us might have favorite passages about those who trust in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord. I mean, all the way from the Old Testament to the New. You hear about faith, believing, trusting. You see, why is trusting God so hard at times? I want to just launch that question and challenge ourselves. Why is it so hard to trust God at times? But I came up with some reasons why I think it's so hard to trust. Well, trusting God doesn't come naturally. I mean, it's not like eating a meal. You know, I mean, some things we do naturally, but trusting God is not one of them. Trusting God doesn't come naturally. The other thing that I think is like it requires us not to be in control. And we know that in our society, we want to be in charge. We want to be in control of the situation. But you and I know that there are times that you and I are, we just got to throw our arms up because we had no idea how the thing is going to unfold. And we are not in control, but we want to be in control. And so when we're not in control, we panic. We are fearful. We have no idea how what we're going to do. And so it's hard to trust because it's going to require you to just... You see, I was telling this morning, that's why some people don't like flying. Because for them, they'd rather be driving. They feel, I got the wheel, but I had to place my life on this pilot. And I'm hoping that he didn't have a rough night the next day. I'm praying, I'm placing my trust that he's not flying this plane drunk. I mean, you know, I don't know, when I'm flying and he says, ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking, and we're going to be there, you know. I mean, some of us will be really saying, ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is your pilot, you know, I just want to let you know, this is my first time flying this plane, and just don't worry, I mean, you know, just I have somebody next to me and he's going to guide me. I don't know that you and I don't know if you and I would be on that plane. If that's what I mean, what was like, oh, he has 25 years of experience, you know, it's like, okay, you're more, you know, and they would say things on the mics to calm people because, you know, you got the turbulence. It's like, is that supposed to happen? You're not in control. So it's hard to trust when you're not in control. The other reason that I think is because trusting God brings us, you know, out of our comfort zone. You know, it's just like we create this sphere and we're comfortable here, but the moment that God says you gotta get out, it's just like, I don't know that I can do this, Lord. It's hard. You know what I'm talking about. It's hard to trust when now God says you gotta step out in faith. You gotta get out of the comfort zone. We like to be comfortable. That's why we like to hang out with Christian friends. And you know that we talk the same languages and we believe the same thing. But once we get to hang out with this fellow here and he's just challenging my beliefs and my faith, it just becomes uncomfortable. And I don't know if I can do it. It's so hard to trust God. Maybe you can relate to what I'm talking about. But let me give you my definition of faith. Now, and the Bible has a definition of faith, and I just came up with one. When I look at all the stories in the Bible, you know, I think this is what faith is. Faith is trusting God even when it doesn't make sense. Faith is trusting God even when what he's asking you at that moment just does not make sense. And I'm going to show you some examples of that, why I come up with that definition. When you study the Old Testament and the New, you find that God told some people to do some crazy things. Crazy in our own estimation. It was some things like, really? You want me to do what? Maybe you got the wrong person, God. I mean, you remember the story of Abraham. God comes to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis and says, Abraham, leave your family, your country, your people, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to, through you, I'm going to build up this nation. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Abraham, leave. So, really? God, you're going to give me a map? A GPS would be nice at this time. Because would you say a land that you're going to show me? Where are you going to show me the land? So, I mean, seriously, you're going to leave your family, your comfort zone, things that you can't, you got to leave and go far away, and I'm going to show you. Abraham trusted God even when it doesn't make sense. Whatever you're asking me right now, I mean, God, this is the family I grew up with. You know, we are people here. I mean, hello, and now you're asking me to leave? It just doesn't make sense, does it? You hear about a widow in a town of Zarephath. First King 17:7-16. This is the time of the prophet Elijah. Elijah was sent to that city, or the town, Zarephath, and there was a widow there. And Elijah comes, and the widow is picking up sticks, wood, because she's about to prepare the final meal for her and her son. So Elijah comes, hey, how you doing? Could you get me a glass of water and some bread? And she said, oh, my Lord, I'm a widow, and I'm just looking for sticks so I can go and start a fire and fix the final meal with me and my son. We don't have anything at home. I just have a jar of flour and a jug of oil. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to fix the final meal and die. Then Elijah said this to the lady. All right. Just get the sticks and go home and fix that. But first, fix me a cake of bread. And then after that, you can fix one for your son. For you and your son. Now, think about that. Does that make sense? Excuse me, Elijah. I just told you I'm about to get the wood to fix my final meal, and you want me to fix that cake first for you, which I don't even know who you are. It just doesn't make sense. And then Elijah said, for thus says the Lord, if you do this, you're never going to run out of flour and oil. Okay, the widow went and did just like Elijah said. You see, she trusted the word of the Lord even when it did not make sense. Really, to fix a meal for you first when my family's starving? But what kind of guy would send me to do something like that? Faith is trusting God even when it defies your logic. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It makes you uncomfortable, but you still got to trust Him. And then we come into the New Testament. Some of us are familiar with the story of Peter. Jesus just got done feeding 5,000 people. And the disciples, the apostles, they got to witness that. I mean, that was an extraordinary miracle. Jesus, from 5 loaves of bread. When you hear about loaves, please don't think it's like the one that you buy at Pathmark. A loaf was like a little hamburger, a little cake of bread. 5 of those and 2 fish. And Jesus was able to feed 5,000 people. And the disciples saw that. And the Bible talks about in Matthew that when the evening came, Jesus told the disciples, get into the boat, go across the lake or Sea of Galilee. And I'm going to stay behind to dismiss the crowd. So Peter and John, those apostles, they get into the boat and they go across in the nighttime across the lake. Jesus dismissed the crowd, and then he goes by himself to a place, to find a place for solitude, to prayer. Even Jesus did that. We don't do that very often today. I mean, he was busy, but he still found some time to go and be with the Father. So he dismissed the crowd. He was praying by himself. The Bible said the apostles were already like in the middle of the lake. And then the Bible talks about in the fourth watch of the night, which is like about 3 a.m., Jesus comes to his disciples walking on the water. And when they saw that thing walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost. The Bible said that the waves, and as they were going, traveling, they were already being buffeted by the wind and the wave. And so now, they not just the wind and the waves they had to deal with, they see a phantom, a ghost that they told him. He's like, whoa. But they know it was Jesus first. Let's just go there for a while. Chapter 14 of Matthew. That's going to be our text for today. To see another example of somebody who had to trust Jesus. Matthew 14. Verse 22 following says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord," here comes Peter. "If it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask Jesus to do. Jesus said to Peter, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter, remember, they were terrified. They thought they saw a ghost. You say, "Hey, take courage. Don't be afraid. It's me." And Peter, of course, said, "Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you in the water." And like I said, okay, and Jesus said, "Come. Now I place the game on your court. Come. If you have faith, you trust Jesus, you step out of that boat," just like Peter did. He stepped out of the boat. The Bible said that he began walking towards Jesus. You see, what Jesus asked Peter just did not make sense. Because we know by law that mankind, we were not given the capacity to do some things like flying on our own and walking on water. We cannot do those things. That just doesn't make sense. And Peter challenged Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come walking on water." And Jesus said, "Come." Jesus just asked Peter to do something that's impossible. That goes against our logic, our reasoning, our own feelings and instincts. That's what faith sometimes does. You cannot put them in a reason box or feelings. It's not a matter of feelings because you don't feel like doing certain things or because it will defy your feelings. It will challenge your feelings at moments. Jesus is saying, "Don't trust your instincts, Peter. Don't trust your feelings. Don't even trust your heart." You know, people are like, "But follow your heart." No, you can't. The heart is deceitful. The Bible says, "Guide it." You know, all in movies, you're like, "Well, just follow your heart." Don't do it. Guide your heart, the Bible calls us. And so don't follow your heart, Peter. Why is your heart telling you about stepping out of the boat right now in this tumultuous storm and things? What is your instinct telling you? Your feelings, they're going to go against you, man. But Jesus said, "Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your instinct, but trust me. Come." Peter trusted Jesus, got down from the boat, because faith requires that sometimes you have to step out of the boat. Got down out of the boat and began walking towards Jesus. He was doing fine because he was looking at the one who told him to come. He was looking at Jesus, but then something happened to Peter. Like many of us, we tend to do that at times. We're doing fine until like we look at ourselves like, "Am I really doing this?" And then we look at the waves and we look like, "This is just impossible." And then feelings kick in. And the instinct is like, and now you start to use logic. And then what happens to Peter later on? He sank. And then he asked, "Lord, save me." And Jesus even said, you have little faith. I mean, he had faith enough to step out of the boat, but his faith did not get him to the final destination of the journey. He still needed to go see Jesus. Peter sank. See, he trusted Jesus even against his own reasoning. He stepped out of the boat and began walking on the water. He was able to walk as long as he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. But verse 30 says, but when he saw, you hear that? When he saw the wind, what was he seeing before that? Jesus. When he saw the circumstances and the conditions that he was in, he became frightful. He was afraid. You see, when you are afraid, you're not trusting Jesus fully. You're not trusting him. When you are afraid, why did he say, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm going to carry you through this situation. But you got to trust me. Don't look at the situation, Peter. Don't look at the waves and the way you were doing so well looking at me. But then he took his eyes off Jesus. And then when you do that, you will sink. And that's exactly what happened to our Peter right here. He said when he looked at the wind, he says, and he was afraid, this fear, and beginning to sing, he cried out, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus saved him. He doubted. That's what happens when you and I take our eyes off of Jesus. In any situation, we're doubting him. We're limiting the power that he has to work the situation. We're already sinking. When you're afraid of something in this life, you are not trusting Jesus. Biblically speaking, that's what the Bible says. Even you might argue with me. You say that you're trusting God. But the moment that you are afraid about that situation, you are not trusting God. Because fear is dominating you. Your feelings, they're going rampant. You have no idea. You're not trusting God at that moment. Because this God tells me to be still and know that I am the Lord. And if I'm not still, it's because I don't even know who the Lord is, maybe. If I'm not still, it's because I'm not trusting him at that moment. Yes, you might trust him with something else, but at that particular moment in your life, in your time, you are not trusting the Lord. When you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, and you panic because you're not trusting him. And we know we all going to go through that. We all have. I was in that college, and I didn't know how the Lord was going to provide for me. And I had to go and take courses on trust, thinking that the money's going to come from somewhere. And I did it. He provided. But at that moment, I really wanted to see the money come. Because I was right there. And it's like, the guy said, just take your classes. Don't worry. It's like, really? Yeah, that just doesn't make sense. When you are afraid of what future holds for you, you are not trusting God because you have forgotten who holds the future. When you're afraid to engage in that relationship because you think something bad's going to happen to you, but don't tell me that you trust God because you ain't. You're not trusting him with that mate that you have or whatever. You're not trusting him yet because trusting God is, you know, having faith is to trust him even when it doesn't make sense, even when it goes against your feeling, even when it goes against your reasoning, even when you cannot see ahead. That's really what trusting God is. Abraham had no idea where he was going. This widow had to trust God with this stranger who told her, fix me a cake first. And she did. That's trusting God, my brothers and sisters. And we all struggle with that at times. And we all going to go through the waves and the sea, and it's going to come a point in your life that you just have to forget about reasoning. You just have to forget about following your heart and your feelings and just step out of the boat in faith looking at Jesus. Maybe you're going through that right now and you don't walk with the Lord. You're walking fine, but then there's all these things around you. Like you look at the situation, you look at how is God going to really come through this? And that's when he said, just watch me. Just watch me. I'm going to come through. But you got to trust me. Come. See, many times people forfeit God's blessing all because of their lack of faith. At times, your faith is enough to get you through, to get you out of the boat, but it's not enough to get you through the final destination, to the final journey, where Jesus is waiting to really bless you. We get distracted and begin to sink in life's ocean. We start to gasp for air due to the situation we're in. This is what happens when we stop trusting Jesus. Our circumstances will drown us. They will drown you. Fear will creep in. You see that the word, the phrase, "don't be afraid," appears 365 times in the Bible. And it's ironic because we have 365 days in a year. It's almost like one per year, per day. Don't be afraid, God's saying, because if I got you, if I'm really your father, I got you. Don't be afraid. Just trust me. We forfeit God's blessing because we don't trust him. The people of Nazareth, Jesus came to town as a Messiah, as a rabbi. Jesus did not do any of the miracles there. And the Bible says, because of the lack of faith. You wonder why that blessing hasn't come to you yet? Maybe because you're not trusting God enough. And he's not going to give it to you until you finally trust him wholeheartedly. You wonder why your prayer is not answered yet? Maybe because you still... James says, you ask, but you're doubting already. Why did you even bother asking? Ask, and you shall receive, he said. But ask in faith, trusting that you're already going to receive just that very thing that you ask. We forfeit so many blessings because we do not trust God the way we think or we feel, or maybe the way we've been told that we trust him. But it's not a matter of who told you. It's not a matter of what you feel. It's a matter of just looking at Jesus and go and doing things, even though as crazy as they might seem, doing it because he's calling you to do that. People thought my wife was crazy when I had this feeling that, well, I didn't have the feeling, but you know, God was telling me really that we were going to come here to Staten Island. And I say, okay, Lord, I've been praying. I know that you're going to move me away from where we are, but I didn't know it was New York. I was hoping it would have been Miami. And that was my prayer. But, you know, it's like, again, you got to get out of the that was my selfish prayer. I wanted to go to a nice weather. You know, and the Lord said, no, you're going to Staten Island, New York. And I already realized that this is where I'm going. But I say, how am I going to tell my wife? Because I really, God's speaking to me. We're going to go to Staten Island. But I know she doesn't like New York very much. And then I say, Lord, that's your job to convict this woman. And then later on, her friends thought she was crazy because they were like, are you packed? I mean, you have a job already in line? No. You got this? No. And it was almost like, you're going to a place, you're leaving your family 1,000 miles away, and you're going to a place and you don't even have a job? That is just, doesn't make sense. That is just crazy. But we did it. We trusted God with that. I'm here telling you today that when you trust God, man, he works. You have to trust him. Many of you have stories in your life that you realize that, I mean, it defied logic, and you just did it because the Lord told you to, and then at the end you have the blessing. You know, sometimes we forfeit the blessing because we don't trust him. We just doubt. You have to trust Jesus, my brothers and sisters, even when what he's asking you to do is crazy. Even when what he's asking you to do doesn't make sense. You cannot apply logic and reasoning. It just doesn't make sense. You see, our journey, our Christian journey requires that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus at all times, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when there are other things around us, God's calling you to trust him with your life. And I said it, and the Bible says right there, you are fearful about what the outcome might be, or about tomorrow, then you're not trusting God at that particular moment. When fear creeps in, when fear comes, we're not trusting God. We have moved our eyes, our focus from Jesus to look at the situation. And that's what we're panicking. Because we think the situation depends on us. We're not in control and that we don't know what to do. But the moment we look at Jesus, it's like, okay, Lord, let me just let go of this thing and let you do your thing. Whatever way you're going to do it, only you know. See, my brother was bleeding to death at a hospital in the Dominican Republic about 11 years ago. He was bleeding to death. The nurse comes out rushing out of the operating room and to find my dad. And it's almost to the point that she said, like,
This, I mean, we invested all this time, all the blood, but he's not gonna make it. And she was shocked because my dad was cool. My dad was like, no, he's gonna be okay. And she was like, are you listening to what I'm telling you? Your son is about to die. I mean, he's not keeping his blood inside. Blood's coming out from the room. He's not gonna make it. My dad placed his hands on her shoulder and said, my son is gonna be okay. It just doesn't make sense. She goes like, I wish I can believe what you're saying. I wish I can have that faith. My dad said to her, because you need to drink what I drink. And it wasn't Gatorade. You need to have Jesus in you the way I do. And then she said, I wish I can. See, my brother almost died that day. He was the worst. All the patients that they had surgery, it's scoliosis surgery that many people had that day in the capital of the Dominican Republic. He was the worst that almost died, and he was the first one out of the hospital. My dad trusted God even when it did not make sense. My brother today lives in Chicago. He's married now, and he even created this CD, this disc. He's singing a song that says, for as long as I'm alive, I'm going to praise the Lord. Trusting God even when it doesn't make sense. When medicine gave up, somebody sent you to home to die, you still have God and He has the final saying. We have to trust that. And we know how hard it is. Because, you know, trusting really is just believing God. Faith is trusting God even when it goes against my logic, it goes against my feelings. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out his root by stream and does not fear. You hear that? Because fear and trust is just opposite. He does not fear when he comes, for his leaves remain green. And he's not anxious in the year of drought and anxiety. Remember Jesus in Matthew 6:25, he says, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink. And then he's like, you have a heavenly Father who knows what you need before you even ask him. Why did you worry about tomorrow when tomorrow has not even come? You a little faith. Did you have a So the tree is not anxious because he said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water, sends out its roots by the stream, does not fear, highlight that word, when he comes, for his leaves remain green, and is not anxious, highlighted too, in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. You're going to continue producing that if you continue trusting in the Lord, even when it doesn't make sense. Blessed is the man. You want to be blessed? Trust in the Lord. Keep your eyes on him. You see, when Jesus invites you to do something crazy, in our estimation, it's really crazy. Just go ahead and do it. Step out in faith because you trust in the one who told you to do it. Somebody said, I found this quote in my research, and I was telling my wife, I have no idea who said it. Google doesn't even know who said it. Because I went to Mr. Google and said, hey, who said this quote? And it's like, it says anonymous. I said, you know, I wanted to give credit to whoever said it. This is the quote. Man says, show me and I'll trust you. But God says, trust me and I'll show you. That was beautiful. I mean, you want to see really what God can do when you just trust him? And man, you're going to be blessed. Going back to those characters that I mentioned to you. Abraham trusted God even when he did not see where he was going. He was able to have a son in his old age. He was blessed, just like God told him. We have Jewish people today all because Abraham listened to God. He obeyed the Lord even when he did not know where he was going. He trusted the Lord even when it did not make sense, and he obtained the blessing. The widow. Yes, Elijah told her was crazy, but she was able to trust the word of the Lord. And she, during that year of drought, did not run out of food. She got oil and flour to continue providing for the family because the Lord says, as long as if you trust this word, you always want to have. And she was able to have it. Peter was able to walk on water all because he trusted the word of Jesus. Now, the question for you and I is, imagine what you and I will be able to do if we just trusted God with all our hearts. Imagine what would just happen if we just let go of the reasoning, we just like step out of the boat in faith and continue looking at Jesus, trusting Him, no matter what the circumstances are going to come, no matter what's going to happen to me when I step out of this building today, I am going to trust the Lord. My brothers and sisters, that's truly what faith is. I don't know where you are today. Just analyze all the scriptures the praise team is going to come. But you can go through the Bible, do another study, an in-depth study about people who trusted God. And you see what God was asking them to do did not make sense. A little shepherd boy to come against a warrior, a giant warrior, that doesn't make sense. And he did it all because he trusted God. So whatever it is that people are saying about you, whatever it is you're going through, trust the Lord because it's going to come through. I don't know when. But eventually he comes through. But you have to continue believing in him. You have to continue trusting him. Trusting even when you don't feel like it, when you're not sure, trust him even when it doesn't make sense.